The BOAG World Show is back and asking, what is content marketing and why should you care? In this first show, we look at a crucial piece of the content marketing puzzle that everybody ignores. This week's show is sponsored by Gather Content and Video Blocks. Hello and welcome to the BOAG World Show. We are back. Podcast about all aspects of digital design, development and strategy. My name is Paul BOAG. Joining me on this week's show is Marcus, obviously, and Colin Gray. Hello, Colin.
Paul, how are you?
It's about time we finally got you on the show. We were just saying before we started off, we once interviewed you before and then you got bumped.
You did. And yeah, I'm still outraged. I don't know why I'm back.
Oh, it's just, you can't.
I would be outraged with Paul if I was you, because it obviously had nothing to do with me, because I'm a really nice guy.
Naturally.
You're always outraged with me, Marcus. Always.
Anyway, I'm outraged at, Paul, is how lovely the place you went was on holiday. I've spent the last 5 or 6 weeks working hard, and you've been taking photographs, seemingly, whilst sipping cocktails.
Yeah. I don't see the problem with this. It seems very sensible to me. It's the way the world should be.
It did look lovely, though, I have to say.
And I haven't spoken to Colin either. Colin and me are working together on a few things, and I've abandoned him as well, so I've managed to abandon both of you.
I've got absolutely nothing done in 2 weeks. It's terrible.
Is it because I haven't been around? Everything's ground to a halt. I don't believe that, Colin.
I will get way more done when Paul's not around. So there you go.
Oh, arse. So I've been in Canada flying drones mainly, which has been great. It was an absolute gorgeous time. We also went up to Alaska, which was also lovely, on a cruise ship, which was also lovely. So it was all lovely, 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 and you weren't there,
Do you know, I've always wondered.
The only thing.
It feels like there'd just be lots of old people on them. Is that true, or are they actually quite good?
Paul is an old person.
Well, shut up.
Other old people.
I mean, it's no, it was quite a cross-section. There weren't many kind of 20-somethings. But once there were probably kind of late 30s up, I would say, mainly.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, it was good. It was great. It's such an easy way of seeing places. It's like they bring you to it, show you it, and then feed you a lot.
Yeah. It feels like something I never would have considered before I had kids. And now that I do, it's like a holiday where you don't have to transport them. The boat does it for you. So that's
exactly.
With me, it's because my kids have left now. I quite fancy it, but that's just because I am properly old now, I guess. I'm saga generation now.
You could go on a saga cruise.
I was looking at all those pictures, and like every single photograph had a perfect blue sky. It can't always be like that there. You were just really lucky. I imagine it just pours with rain in Alaska most of the time.
Oh, no, it wasn't perfect blue sky the whole time.
Didn't look like it.
But we were pretty lucky. We had good weather. We were very fortunate from what I can gather. I tell you what, it's decided me on my ultimate aim in life, which is that I want to buy a massive 4x4 RV and just drive around North America and pretend to do a bit of work while I'm doing it.
Said that before, but it's connectivity, isn't it? We couldn't do the podcast because you've tried doing it from your motorhome in the UK, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So,
like, I care that I'm not going to be doing the podcast. You don't think I enjoy this, do you?
Well, that makes two of us, eh?
Well, I'm glad I'm the only one here enjoying it. That's fine.
No, I've been looking forward to this for weeks. I've been counting the days before Paul gets back from holiday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take that at face value. But connectivity is getting better and better, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they reckon it's 5G is not too far in our future. So,
Which should replace all the cables in and out of our houses, if I'm supposed to believe exactly all that's said about it, that we will no longer get our broadband connectivity via cable.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sure people are fed up with hearing about my holiday and my dreams of the future. Let's talk about Colin instead.
Talk about Colin.
Hello, Colin.
Shut up.
Hello. Hello.
So basically, Colin is, what do people need to know about Colin? Colin is a kind of content strategy, podcasting person. How would you describe what you do these days, Colin?
Oh, I've got absolutely no idea. I'm a podcasting teacher, basically. I help people start podcasts, and that's where it starts. But like you say, it always ends up being general content because you can't really do a podcast on its own. It has to be. Well, it doesn't have to be, but it works best alongside a blog, alongside video, alongside social media, alongside all of the marketing and outreach from your business. So yeah, there's a lot involved.
Yeah. And so you've just been at some conference or other in the States, haven't you? Did I see that?
I can too, actually. Yeah. Just, Inbound in Boston.
Right.
Supposedly the biggest marketing conference in the world. And I have to admit, it was blooming huge. It was crazy. It's like a music festival, but a lot cleaner. It was like party stuff at it. And, so it's quite cool. And I was at a speaking thing as well, Heroic Public Speaking by Michael Port, which was, to try and hone my speaking skills. So yeah, both of them good fun and great trip.
Excellent. And you do a lot. You do quite a lot of speaking yourself, don't you? At various events and stuff. Yeah. I've seen you. Yeah,
a fair bit. It was kind of primarily around podcasting, of course, like why you should podcast, how you do it. But a lot more these days about sustainable content, actually. That's kind of the thing I get asked about the most. It's how do you... Well, podcasting is the kind of the one that everybody thinks you should be doing regularly, that you guys put them out every single week. So you think, how do you actually manage to plan it and fit it into your time every single week? But talking about how you make blogs and video and all that kind of stuff alongside your podcasting to make sure you're getting a lot of stuff out there on a regular basis.
This is where I've got actually a huge amount of respect for Marcus. And I think he's very, very smart in this, that basically he just piggybacks on other people's hard work. So, you know, he doesn't actually have, exactly. He doesn't prepare anything. He just waltzes up and relies on me to come up with all the content.
Well, you know, there's an official name for that. It's called curation, isn't it? So you're just a curator, Marcus.
Oh, I like that. I was going to call myself something worse, but, no, but there is a point, you know, a podcast has to be kind of engaging, and without me, you know, Paul has to do all of the kind of the drudgery or the you know, bringing content in that people might be interested in. And I just have to turn up and, you know, be charming. That's my job.
Well, you do the editing well, which is a pain in the ass.
It depends. Sometimes when our previous audio supplier stopped working, I had to get very creative, but sometimes if they work, then it's just upload a file and chop it up. It's easy. But I'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Okay. So I would tell people very briefly about this season and why Colin is on the show. So what we're going to do this season is we're going to be covering content marketing, because increasingly this is the thing of the moment everybody goes on around, that whether you've got a web design agency, whether you're work in-house in a large organization, whether you're talking about your own personal career development, you know, content marketing is becoming a crucial component in success. So by content marketing, I mean putting out quality content in lots and lots of different formats, people read, and it builds your reputation and establishes you as an expert and all of those kinds of things. So we're going to explore that topic for the season, and we're kind of breaking it down and looking at lots of different channels that you might use for your content marketing. So we're going to, as has probably been guessed by now, we're going to look at podcasting on this show. We're going to look at blogging, social media, working collaboratively on content with clients. We're going to look at imagery, social media, headlines, video, how to write effectively, email marketing, creating an editorial calendar, all of that kind of good stuff. And the idea of the season really is to equip you guys to essentially better promote yourself online or promote whatever it is you want to promote, whether it be yourself personally, whether it be your app, whether it be your agency, whatever. And for those of you who work in house and are quite happy there and thinking, well, hang on a minute, none of this applies to me. It does for a couple of reasons. It does, first of all, from the personal career development point of view, that the more you build your own reputation online, then the stronger position that you're in personally for your next job, etc. But also, one of the things that I found that internal digital teams are really bad at is promoting themselves within the organization. So almost everything we're going to talk about could equally apply within your organization, especially if you work in a larger organization and you're not kind of you know, seeing everybody in the company every day. So for example, podcasting, there's no reason why you couldn't do an internal podcast, just talking about the work you do, your successes, sharing best practice on digital and that kind of stuff with your colleagues. So there are so many opportunities around this area. And I think it's something that's pretty applicable to everybody, which is why we decided to do it as a show. Okay. So then how we're going to split down the show is we're going to essentially, obviously have a chat with whoever our guest is each week, which is going to be discussion, but there's a couple of other things I want to do as well. I want to also talk about, reading suggestions. So places that you can go to learn more about this, because whenever you do a season like this, you're not going to be able to cover, you know, all the in-depth stuff. So we're going to talk about some places you can go and find some more information. We're also going to talk about some apps that might help you along the way as we go as well. Okay. I think we ought to start, before we get heavily into some questions for you, Colin, let's talk a little bit about some reading suggestions. Of where you can go look more or to learn about podcasting and that kind of stuff. And the obvious thing that I've got to say, because he's here, is to check out the podcasthost.com, which is Colin's site. Colin, tell us a little bit about some stuff that people can find on your site.
Yeah, sure. It started back in 2011, to be honest. I was working in a university, doing podcasting there and just started writing about equipment. So writing about microphones, mixers, about all the different ways you can set up, and run a podcast with equipment. And that's kind of stayed the most popular stuff over the years. So there's loads of stuff on there about kit setups and things. But it also moves on to, lots of other more of the softer skills, like presentation skills, like, strategy, planning a show, like monetization, like promoting a show. And also we've got a few podcasts on there as well, obviously. We've got one called Podcraft, which is our how to podcast podcast, and a range of other shows too, to help you with other stuff like starting a business, UK business startup, or if you just want to explore space, you can go and listen to Hostile World. So we've got a load of stuff on there.
So, you've also got various courses that people, so some content is, well, a lot, most of the content is free. It's blog posts and that yeah. kind of stuff, but you've got some more detailed courses and a membership type thing that people can see as well.
Yeah, thanks. It's, we've got our academy. So the Podcast Host Academy, and that's, just a monthly membership whereby you can get in, and we've got much more in-depth stuff. So we've got all the free articles tend to tell you exactly what you have to do. And then in the academy, we show you how with videos and coaching and stuff like that. And we do live coaching in there too. Every couple of weeks, we do a live session as well as the forum. So everybody can get in-depth help there if they need it.
So definitely check that out. And I've got to say, podcast hosts, like I said, I've been working with Colin for a little while, and obviously I've seen quite a lot of the content, and it is really, really good. It's worth checking out. But let's say people want to snub you because they don't like the sound of your smooth Scottish accent.
Yes, indeed.
Where else would you, where you tell me, where's good for finding out about podcasting? How did you learn? Or did you just make it up as you went along?
Yeah, the funny thing is, you talk about reading, and it's the reason our site, I think it's the reason I started doing really well in the early days, is because nobody was writing about podcasting.
No.
It was all podcasting. About podcasting. And it's kind of understandable, I suppose. You're into podcasting, so you're on a podcast. So there are not that many great written resources out there. Free ones, certainly. I mean, there's a lot of podcast teachers out there. There's guys that I know well, like Daniel J. Lewis and Ray Ortega, and they've got their own sites that have some good resources on them, so well worth looking them up. Or Dave Jackson, although Dave's just started working for Libsyn, one of the podcast hosts out there too. There's a couple of books that I actually tend to recommend to people, which
sure.
are not directly related. Well, kind of. One's called Out on the Wire, and it's by a lady, Jessica Abel, I believe, who used to work for, or still does possibly work for NPR. And it's more about the art of capturing great audio, like sort of sourcing great stories and stuff like that.
Oh.
And it's written as a comic book almost. It's a graphic novel. So it's a really cool book, and it's got loads of great lessons in it. And the other one that I talk about quite often is there's one called Writing for Broadcast Journalists. And it's designed for people writing for radio or for TV, but there's some brilliant stuff in there around how to really simplify your writing for speech, how to write for speaking in the first place, how to design an engaging bit of audio, basically. So even though it's not directly podcasting, it's the same medium, really. We're just radio, yeah. but on demand. So radio mm-hmm. resources.
That's really, I would have never thought of that kind of approach, but that's really good. You saved me on that one, because my problem was is, you know, I'll come up with this great idea for the show. Yeah, we're gonna make some recommended reading, and I could not think of anything other than you. So,
yeah, well, I'm glad. I suppose that's a good sign.
yeah, it's good. Who knew that the podcast expert would know about places to read about podcasting? Strange, isn't it? Right, let's take a very quick break. We've got to do our first sponsor for the day, which is VideoBlocks. So VideoBlocks I've been really pleased that they've decided to support the show again. I was really pleased last time they did it, but I've learned a lot more about what they've got, and it's very, very relevant to this season, because as we go through the season, it's going to be obvious that successful content marketing is about a lot more than copy. The fact that we're talking about podcasting today is, it makes that really obvious, but it's also about imagery and video as well. And let's be honest, video is particularly important, because video is, well, we're going to get into this later in the season, but video is very engaging. Something, and something like I read a fascinating stat recently on this, that something like 85% of businesses, have some kind of internal resource for producing video, of those that do online content. But finding content for videos is really hard. Especially, you know, just finding kind of stock footage or B-roll footage or anything really. And creating your own is quite time consuming. And that's where something like, a VideoBlocks comes in. So you sign up for a subscription, and then you get, once you sign up for that monthly subscription, while you're using it, you have unlimited downloads of videos, right? So they've got something like 115,000 studio quality HD videos, as well as things like After Effects templates and motion backgrounds, if you're into that kind of thing as well. And you could just download it, and anything that you download, you can therefore keep forever to use royalty free. So you could sign up for 1 month, download their entire library of 115,000 videos and never pay for it again. You won't. Because you'll run out.
I don't expect that's what they want you to say, Paul. that's my guess.
Nobody's actually going to do that. Can you imagine trying to download 115,000 videos? So it was
just used all the internet.
Yes, the internet's been used up. Just you've thrown me now, Marcus. Unprofessional.
Little old me.
Yeah. So, but they, in addition to the 115,000 videos that you'll get, you also get access to a marketplace, which is other videos that, the kind of the videos that you'll find on all of the other, video stock library sites that you kind of pay for individually. So, you know, like you, where if you buy an image from Getty, you pay for it individually. So as well as the 115,000 that you can just download and use as you want, they've also got 5 million additional videos, the ones that you would find everywhere else. But with them, they're heavily discounted because you've got the membership thing. So it's a really, really useful, resource that you'll probably want to check out and give a go. So you can find out more about them by going to videoblocks.com/BOAG world. So there we go.
No, they do audio too, Paul, just to add.
They do actually. I'm not, that's not the bit that I'm supposedly promoting as part of this agreement. But I'm pretty sure, yeah, they do audioblocks.com.
Yeah. No, we've been talking to them a little bit actually, because they do. It's much more prevalent these days that you'll buy a membership to something. There's a few services around, and there, I had a look through their service just recently actually, and the audio samples are brilliant. Some great music, some great effects. So if anyone's thinking about getting into podcasting, they're good for that as well, for the background music and theme music.
They're doing some really interesting things and growing at this amazing rate at the moment. So they're definitely worth checking out. They're kind of all together under a single brand called Story Blocks that has got, you know, all the different things, you know, all these different the images, the videos, the audio, etc. So there you go. That's Video Blocks. Check them out. Right. Let's talk about podcasting. So, when you think of content strategy, content marketing, that kind of stuff, podcasting is not the first thing that springs into your mind, right? Why should people think about podcasting, Colin? What's your, give us your elevator pitch. You must have done this a few times now.
Oh yeah, just a couple. You're right though. It's not the first one people come to, and it's probably rightfully so. It's not the first one they should come to. I mean, the way I usually think of it is it's a three tier approach, I suppose. You've got blogging is generally the first that people start with, partially because it's easy. It's pretty low barrier to entry, but it's also got the biggest competition. So it's really hard to stand out in a blog, but the advantage is that it's really visible. Like it's still how people search more often than not via text. They'll be able to skim through text. They can find you that way. So it's kind of it's the net. It's how you catch people in the first place. But the thing is, it's quite hard to, you know, engage people, to show them who you are, to get your personality across in text, unless you're a really good writer. So that's where media comes in. And quite often people go to video at that point. You know, they'll pull out their smartphone, they'll stick it up in front of them and they'll take a wee selfie video or something and start speaking to it. And that really helps, because suddenly your audience, they've been captured by the text, you know, that's your net that's got them in. And now the video is growing trust. It's growing a personality. It's growing that connection because they're getting to know you. They're getting to know about your personality. But then the trouble there is that video and text both suffer from a pretty huge lack of attention. So you're lucky if you can get people to skim through an entire article. You're also lucky if you can get people to watch more than a few minutes of a video on YouTube. And that's where podcasting comes in, really, because podcasting has a lot of the same personality, you know, engagement, connection type advantages of video. It's a really intimate medium. Like people feel like they get to know you really well. You're kind of a friend in their ears, just speaking directly to them. So there's this really big intimate connection you grow. But you multiply that by the attention you get. Unlike video and text, where you get a few minutes, and a podcast, you know, your episodes are, you know, half an hour, an hour. And people out there speak for 3 hours at a time on a podcast, and their fans listen to every second of it. I mean, Dan Carlin's the one I always bring out. He speaks by himself about history for 3 hours at a time, and he still attracts like 500,000 listeners at a time. It's crazy the engagement and the attention you get with podcasting. So that's how it works for me. It's kind of a draw them in with the text, then kind of hit them with a bit of video to engage them. And podcasting is really where you grow a huge bit of engagement. That's where people get to know you, to trust you. And that's where you grow really loyal, engaged fans. That's when there are people, real fans of your work. So they'll either buy everything you do or help you promote your brand for you to others.
I've got to say,
podcasting is kind of, it's a kind of marriage then, isn't it? Sort of text is, you know, kind of early part of a relationship.
It's the one next
time. Moving in together with the video. That sounds a bit wrong. And then podcasting is kind of sealing the deal.
That is the worst analogy I've ever heard.
I knew you'd love that, Paul.
What the hell? Where did that even come from? Just Colin shared probably the most articulate, well put together argument I have ever heard for podcasting, and raised points that I hadn't even considered, like the engagement thing. And then you just stomp all over it with some bullshit, whatever that was.
I was impressed too. I thought it was fantastic. I've always considered podcasting to be the kind of like, you know, the sort of poor relation, really. And the way you put that, Colin, it's kind of like, oh, wow, it's completely the opposite. So, yeah, bit of a revelation, really.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that whole thing about that you get that, it's not that you get someone's full attention. You know, I don't think that people are sitting here right, you know, as listening to this podcast right now, and they're just staring blankly into space, you know, just with their eyes closed, just kind of ruminating on every word I say. But you are right. It's because the very fact that you can do other things while listening to a podcast means that they stick with it for a lot longer. That's a good point.
Yeah, there's a sheer sort of time that you spend with people. That's just, I think that's what grows that relationship that really, you know, it's funny when you go to, you always hear stories of podcasters when they go to conferences and stuff, and it's just people walk up to them as if they're pals or you've probably had this. It's much different from, there's something about video in that there's a bit of a barrier. You know, there's kind of this perfection thing, the lighting, the background, all that kind of stuff. There's something in between you and the person with video. It's just great, isn't it? But with headphones in your ears, it's like somebody speaking directly into your heads. There's just something much more personal, intimate, I think.
Yeah, that you're really right with that, because when you see someone who you've seen on a video, it's almost a bit intimidating to go up to them.
Yeah,
but somebody who you listen to, it's kind of, it's cozier somehow. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does help that you've got a particularly cozy voice, Colin. I've said this to you before. You make me want to drift off to sleep, which is not probably the reaction you want. Yeah. But it's like, anyway,
one of the weirdest experiences I've had at a conference is related to that, in that I was standing at a bar once, and Podcast Movement, actually one of the biggest conferences for podcasting, went to order a drink. You know, I'm a Scotsman in America, got to go and order a drink. And I just felt this hot breath in my ear, and I was about to turn around, but before I could even turn around, this kind of voice just said, "Colin, it's you. I fall asleep with you in my bed every night." And it just turned out the guy who listened to Podcraft, he enjoyed the show. And it wasn't that it bored him to sleep. It was just that I wind down. It was it's a relaxing thing. He listens to podcasts to kind of wind down at the end of the day. And it was something he found interesting. He said the accent helped. So yeah, it was good. But it was strange.
You've kind of sold the idea of adding podcasting into your content marketing mix, but I know what everyone is going to be thinking. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we've already kind of touched on this, which is, but podcasting's a lot of work, isn't it? I mean, have you got tips I'm getting a pen and paper out at this point. I've got high expectations because I damn well need these tips.
Yeah.
How do you minimize the amount of effort that goes into these things?
Yeah, there's a few things you can do. I think the first bit is always the equipment, because people just go totally overboard on the equipment. So the thing here is, no, this doesn't need overstated or anything. It's just keep it simple as possible. Because people just get really into it. They see these shiny things. They see mixers and big condenser microphones and boom arms and all this kind of stuff. And to be fair, it's pretty cool. I've got a lot of that stuff. But in the early days, you don't need any of that. And actually, it stops your recording. It makes it take longer because it takes ages to set up. There's always some setting at kilter or something broken. So that's the first tip. Make it really, really simple to record. And you can do that with just a decent little USB mic. Like spend £50 on a Meteor or a Shure MV5's great little USB mic. Or even, you know, smartphones are brilliant little recorders. Mm-hmm. Plug a Rode SmartLav. Rode SmartLav Plus is a little tie-clip mic. Plug into your smartphone and you can just pull that out anywhere you are at all, anytime, and just record a really good quality episode. So that's the first thing. It's keeping the kit really simple.
Mm-hmm. What about in terms of... you obviously have more things. Keep going. I apologize.
See, it's the art of the podcast interview. You have to pause to let people, so you're not bored by your voice for ages, eh?
So what you're saying is that I'm a crappy podcast interviewer. Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. I'm probably being a crappy podcast. No, anyway. Okay, so yeah, the next bit is... I've totally lost my track now. Keep it simple, yeah.
Yeah.
So saving time. So then, yeah, the next one that I'd often talk to people about is, what content are you doing already? So are you already doing blogging? Are you already doing video? To the first one, maybe, I don't know, 2/3 to, 90% of people say they're already blogging at least. So I just say, well, there's a really easy way to start here. Just get that simple USB mic and then, just read your blog posts. Now, this isn't ideal. It's not perfect. It's not great. But it's a dabble into it. It's a start, and it's offering your content in a different way. It's offering and letting people consume it in their own way. Sometimes people don't have time to sit down and read, and they would appreciate you just actually relating your blog post to them. I know you do that, Paul, don't you? You must have some success.
I do. I started it because a lot of people have said, like you say, that they don't have time to read blog posts, etc. And then a lot of people have said, oh, I listen to the podcast while I'm at the gym or I'm commuting or whatever. And so it kind of, two and two made four. They've got time in certain situations where they haven't got the opportunity to sit and read stuff. So why not create the blog posts as audio format as well? And it doesn't take long. Just read them back a few minutes. Absolutely. And it's proved hugely popular, actually. It goes down very well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it works really well. A lot of people get into podcasting that way. They'll start that way and they'll go toward, they'll get into it. They'll grow some listeners around a channel related to just their blog posts. And then they'll dabble into doing some more like podcast specific stuff. So it's a really good way to start. And the other thing is if you're doing video as well, videos actually, there's no rules around the length of podcasts. If you're doing a 5 or a 10 minute video, just take the audio track from that video and release that as a podcast episode too. I have rarely watched, say, a webinar or, a live video session. I've rarely watched that on video, but I'll often stick them on in the car when I'm on a longer journey and listen to them that way. So I think the key for me is planning it all together. It's not wasting a content idea. Like if you have an idea for a blog post, don't just spend it on a blog post. Make sure you're getting a blog post, a video and a podcast out of it. And there's ways to really sort of tailor them to the medium as well, because you could create podcasts tend to be longer, like we've talked about. So maybe you had a series of three blog posts around one content idea, one thing that you're answering, a series of three blog posts that translate to a half hour podcast episode that translate to, 7 or 8 videos actually when you end up cutting them up. And there's ways that you can, record that half hour show. And if you keep it in mind that you're planning to cut this up, you can cut it into shorter sections during the podcast episode so that it's actually really easy to edit it into shorter videos. So it's not so much about, fitting your podcast into the time that you already have, the time you already have. It's around getting more from whatever content production time you have and getting more mediums and more reach from them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing some work with a client at the moment where, they had a limited budget that, they wanted to get as much value out of me as possible for that. So all we did is we started off with a webinar that we'll do a webinar on a particular subject. So that's been scheduled up, and I had, And then we took that webinar and we reckoned, oh, there's two or three blog posts in the same webinar. So I wrote those. Yeah, yeah. And then we, you know, we've also, the blog post or the webinar is made up of a series of different pieces of tips, hints, you know, hints and tips, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So what we turned each of those into a little infographic that we're going to release on social media. And then after the webinar is complete, we're going to release the video and the audio as two separate things that people can download. So it's that same principle from what I can gather,
yeah,
isn't it?
Totally. I've written about it on the site. I call it content stacking. So you're stacking much more content onto one content idea. It's getting the most from the one thing, really. Cause so many people just like, they think of a question that somebody's asked them and they write one blog post on it and that's it. But more often than not, you can actually break that down into much more deep, in-depth things and get six blog posts out of it. And then you get six podcast episodes and 12 videos out of that as well. So yeah. Don't waste the ideas you have. Get as much as you can from them.
Talking of ideas, that then brings us on to the second one, which is one of the problems with podcasting is that you've got to, you know, you're doing it week in and week out. And, you know, we've been going 110 years now and coming up with new stuff all the time. It's really tough. Yeah. I mean, where do you start?
Questions, whatever people are asking me. So it's, I'm a prolific collector of questions. Like whenever anybody sends us an email I suppose you have to get to a certain stage before it becomes really, really, really useful. I mean, we get like a dozen emails per day minimum off our content form. We get about 20 or 30 survey responses to people getting onto our email list, that kind of stuff. And every single one of those people, we ask, what are you struggling with in podcasting right now? So we're lucky that we've got a lot of people that are sending us questions, but even if you're out starting in that journey, like you can just, you know, people that are in your audience, get out there and talk to them for half an hour and just say that, what are you struggling with? What are you struggling to keep doing that until they run out of things that they're struggling with? And that's what you write about. I think as well, so I often talk about the idea of doing seasons in podcasting. You guys do already. But actually you're kind of unusual. There's more often than not when I'm talking to podcasters, they have no concept of this. And if they do, they think, oh, it's just for, you know, fiction or reporting podcasts like Serial or The Break Sessions or something, isn't it? But I think it works really well for educational podcasts, and it solves that problem of coming up with something new every week as well, because you find a question like, how do you do content marketing? So your season here, how do you do content marketing? You could do a half hour, an hour episode just saying, so here's how you do podcasting. Here's how you do blogging. Here's how you do video, but you're breaking it down and going really deep into every single subject. It's rare that you find a question that can't be broken down into, you know, a season of 8, 10, 12 episodes. And when you do that, you plan it all out ahead of time. You plan out those, say, 12 episodes. They all link together so that there's actually a common thread, a narrative that goes through them all. That creates a compelling reason for listeners to come back every time. It helps you grow your show, but it also helps you be really efficient in how you plan it. And then every Monday you turn up and you go, what am I doing next? Oh, I just have to look at my plan. Here's the next episode in the season. And that really solves a lot of the problems around figuring out what you're going to speak about next. And helps the listener. I mean, building on what you've talked about the last week rather than coming up with a new subject every time that's how people learn well, isn't it? So it's a really good teaching technique.
And of course, with the release of iOS 11, which has just happened, we now have seasons being supported on the iPhone as well. Yeah. They seem to be really pushing podcasting again. Yeah. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Even iTunes has been updated to bring podcasting to the fore. So that's quite encouraging, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's the fact that Apple have basically, they created the podcasting platform like a decade ago and basically have done nothing to it since, barely even acknowledge that it exists. Like if you ask them what they're doing with it. But in the last 6 months, they've brought out a bunch of different stuff. So they're obviously, it's jumped up their priority list, which is great because like it or not, they're the biggest, you know, search engine, the biggest proponent, the biggest stats holder in podcasting. So if they get involved, it's only a good thing.
Yeah. And so it's good up until the point where you've discovered that you've done 19 seasons of a podcast and need to go back through every single episode and tag it as being part of a season. That was not a nice day. It's just me doing that.
Ooh, that's quite a lot, Paul.
It was. It took quite a long time. I've quietly ignored the classic episodes. They don't get broken into seasons.
But it looks good, though, doesn't it?
I don't blame. Well, because they weren't, to be fair.
No. Sorry, Colin, you were going to say something there.
It looks good, doesn't it? It does look good in iTunes, in Apple Podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the mobile app and iTunes and an iPad or something. It looks really good. Like you can scroll through. You see these seasons are themed. They're, yeah, it's great. I have to admit, I've not done all my seasons for Podcraft yet, but I need to do them all.
I liked it. I like the idea of seasons simply because it gives people a starting point if they're joining the show. You know, if they want to start, you know, until now, it's been podcasting had been very much like, as you say, like the radio, that you could just start listening to it and you get a whatever's on this week kind of thing. But turning it into a library of teaching material broken up into nice chapters, for want of a better word, you know, seasons, is so much more accessible to, you know, so if somebody wants to learn about content marketing now, they can do that. They can come to this season and it's all laid out from them. And whether they're listening to it today or in, you know, 6 months' time or a year's time, it's all there, which I think
it's
is great.
A big problem.
So, yeah.
The whole, like, you've got somebody joins in at episode 200 and there's just this big mess of stuff. Like, how do you direct people? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a great thing. I think that's why it's great for people to start doing that at the start as well. You know, people, when we talk about it, one of the biggest things that I didn't really expect at first, but it made it a lot less intimidating for people to start podcasting, I found, because they see a season as an achievable chunk of stuff, if that makes sense. Like they plan out 8 episodes, say, and they're not committing to do a podcast forever. You know, that's a ridiculous thing because that has put people off for years and years. They say, right, so you start a podcast, it's got to be weekly and you've got to do it forever. And that's a big thing. So people put it off and put it off.
Until you die.
But if you say, well, no, we're just going to do a pilot season, 8 episodes. We're going to teach something. We're going to break it down, teach a subject. So do you know what? We're going to evaluate it after 8 weeks. We're going to see whether we enjoyed it. We're going to see whether our audience enjoyed it, whether our business got something from it. If it did, if all those are a yes, then we'll keep doing it. But we'll take a break and plan the next one. If it's a no, actually, that's fine. We'll stop. But, you know, we've created something. We've created this resource that we can actually give out to people. We can pass on to people. It exists as an evergreen thing anyway. So it's a win-win either way, I think.
Cool. Yeah, totally agree. Okay, one more question before we move on. And this one is for Marcus, really, okay? Because he needs the answer to this. How do we stop the podcast being dull? You know.
Oh yeah, well I've already covered that. Just have me on it.
No, it's the other way around, Marcus. You're the one that needs it. Actually, have you ever listened? It's worth, dear listener, if you're listening to this now, go back and listen to the first ever episode of Boag World. You will. It was the dullest thing on the planet. Just this one person.
Hello, my name is Paul Boag, and I am going to do a podcast today.
And
that's
a monotone
what it sounded like.
Voice.
Yes.
So how do you? I mean, that's a very difficult skill to learn. You know, doing the technical stuff, that's quite easy. Setting up the technical stuff, all of that kind of thing. But I mean, what advice would you give in terms of not making it as boring as boringness is?
An easy starting point is to have more than one person to begin with, because it's harder to make a really engaging solo show. It's not impossible. It's not even difficult. It's just something that takes a bit of practice, but it's definitely harder. So like you guys have some rapport, some chemistry, some, you know, chucking a bit of abuse back and forth.
Hatred.
Exactly, yeah. So,
envy. All those things.
So that helps. That chemistry makes for a more engaging show, but it's funny in that actually I think that creating an entertaining, engaging show, it's about being a bit more boring in your planning. It's about being a bit more structured. So it comes back to kind of to teaching practice to me, actually. It's about thinking about what you're going to be teaching during that episode, making sure that, you know, during the introduction, you're given a good summary of what people are going to get from it. You're given a summary over 2 minutes, you know, this is what you're going to get from this show. This is the conclusion. We're going to tell them the whole thing within the first 2 minutes. And that really hooks people in because they hear the benefits. They hear what they're going to get. They hear why they should listen. And it doesn't, I'm not talking about making it funny or entertaining. This is just making it valuable, making it useful. And that's the first part of making something engaging. And not boring. It's not boring if they're getting something from it, if it's helping them succeed or to get better at something. Then you can go into the theory. So then you can teach the theory itself. Try and obviously keep that as short as you can. A big part of being engaging is brevity, you know, not waffling. Although, you know, entertaining waffle can be good. I think this is a qualifier. Entertaining waffle can be good from time to time. But you know, brevity is a big factor. So doing it in as little time as possible. And then we go into the fashionable, but this is what everybody's talking about these days, and that's stories. So you've got to tell a story around it. If you're teaching something or you're giving an example, you've got to give some examples, some case studies. If it's a story from your own life, then brilliant. If it's telling a story from a client's point of view, something you've helped them do, then even better. Or maybe it's just somebody you know that has done something, but include a story in there. And the last bit to stop it being boring as well is that I've often seen those elements in a podcast, heard those elements in a podcast, got to the end, and as it finished, and I'm still like, oh, I don't know, I'm kind of bored with this show because it's not helping me get anywhere. And the way you really help people is by telling them what to do, giving them a task. So giving them a takeaway, like, here's some, this is your homework, like literally give them homework. This is what you've got to go and do right now based on what I've just told you. Step one, step two, step three, this is what you'll get from it. So give them tasks. It's just like running a class, basically. So you get all that.
So planning.
this is why I don't listen to podcasts that much, because I don't want to be in school anymore.
We're not doing very well on this, Marcus. Planning never happens. Brevity never happens. Tasks never happens. We do occasionally tell stories, but yeah, so one out of four we've got. I think we've just failed our exam.
In our next 500 or 600 episodes, because that's what it is, maybe we can try and do a little bit better.
I like the idea of tasks. Okay, then. Let's put you on the spot.
Yes, Mr. As well.
Mr. Podcaster, what should people go away and do after this show?
Right now, they should go away and they should sit down and think of the most common question they're asked by their customers, by their clients, by their friends and their hobby. You know, like, I do a show about mountain biking. I'm not aiming to sell anything on that, but people most often ask me in that, how do I fix my brakes or how do I fix my gears? So I did a season on how to fix my mountain bike, and it was broken down into gears, brakes, wheels, that kind of stuff. So go out there, think about the most common thing you're asked in the subject you're talking about, and then break that down. See how far you can break it down. Break it down into, say, at least 3 or 4 episodes. Could be a mini season, or if you can get it down into 8 to 10 episodes, and that's brilliant. That's like a full size season. And it just puts some meat on it. Like, just break it down into those component subjects and then put a few bullet points around each element. And basically that is your outline for a whole season. That's your plan for a season. You can talk about that throughout the next 2 months.
Wonderful. But don't go away and do that quite yet, because we've got a couple more things. For a start, our next sponsor would be very upset if you went away right now. And they're supporting the entire season. So we definitely want you to listen to them. And you could not get a more perfect sponsor for the season, because it is Gather Content, which they're great. They're a British startup, a British app. It's the way it should be, people. Gather Content. If you haven't heard of them before, then shame on you. They're a tool for getting and managing the content you need for a website, an app, a social media campaign, hell, a podcast. You know, you could use it for any of those situations. So for example, I tend to work a lot on content heavy projects. Websites that are very content heavy, and almost always, without fail, I can pretty much guarantee the reason a project will get delayed is because the content hasn't been delivered. And that's why I love Gather content and have been using it for so long. And it actually was born out of a agency team that just got really hacked off with trying to get content from a client. So they started the app, which is just brilliant. There's such a nice team of people as well. I really love those guys, and they're very open and responsive. They love talking to people about their product and you know, how they could improve it and make it better. So just chat to them. They've got a really good blog as well, where they share some excellent content around content. They share content around
they
content.
They do a podcast.
I don't think they do. They should do. We'll tell them to.
They should do. Now, the one thing I've learned today, which is the podcast is the king of all media. There you go.
I don't think that's actually what Colin has said, but, you know, feel free.
That's how it's been translated in my brain.
Right. Fair enough. So Gather content is used by thousands of teams all over the world to help organize their website content. So it's perfect for website redesigns, new website builds, new creating new sections on a website, whatever. So go and check it out for yourself. You can go and find out more about it and get a 30-day free trial, no credit card or any of that nonsense, by going to gathercontent.com/Boag World. So talking about useful apps, I thought it'd be nice to just wrap up with a few tools that we use for podcasting, and I'm sure Colin will chuck in a couple as we go as well. So one tool I wanted to mention that I'm using right now is Ringer. So RINGR, which is a tool that allows you to have multiple people together recording a podcast. It used to be just one person and a guest, but now they've got conferences, a facility so that you can have more guests on it, which is really cool. You can run it on your desktop, which is how we're doing it at the moment. It's running in Chrome, or they've got a mobile app as well for doing that kind of, quick smartphone type podcasting that Colin was talking about earlier. We used to use one called Zancaster, but it turned out Zencaster. Why have I written Zancaster? What in the hell was I thinking? Zencaster. But it turned out to be a bit flaky for us, didn't it? We had problems with it.
Well, this might be better now, but yes, yeah. I did want to kill people towards the end of using that.
In terms of editing the podcast, you could go down Marcus's route and buy Logic and pretend that it's for podcasting, but actually it's for creating your own music outside of work, but you charge the company for it anyway.
It's actually a really good thing to edit with, though. But what if you've got a Mac, you can have Logic Lite, which is GarageBand, and that will do your editing in exactly the same way that Logic does. Mm. So I would recommend GarageBand for free on your Mac.
Or if you're not Mac-based, there's a great tool that I used to use a lot, which is Audacity, which is open source and in lots of different platforms. What about you, Colin? What do you recommend?
Yeah, Audacity is always the kind of first stop for us because it's free and it's available on Mac and PC.
Yeah.
And it's decent. It's kind of clunky. It's kind of old-fashioned, but you can't like complain when it's cost anything. Mm-hmm. We use Audition, Adobe Audition, in the studio here. So that's what we edit all our stuff in, just because it's great. Great workflows, really good for sort of saving time and automating things, and really good app, yeah. But I mean, I'll take a quick cheap plug if you don't mind. We are developing an app right now.
Yeah, go for it.
Which is called Alitu. So Alitu. And you can see over at alitu.com. It's in beta just now. So, that is the intention for that, is that you can upload a raw recording and actually just click publish, and it will add your music. It will process it, like do the volumes, EQ, compression, all that kind of stuff. And you don't have to do a thing. But it also lets you edit if you want to. So you can actually cut out mistakes, trim it, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's going to be a tool available openly in a couple of months, which people could use to do all this stuff.
Yeah, I almost forgot to mention that, Colin. That is shameful, considering I'm supposed to be helping you promote it. Honestly, with that is just that I am honestly blushing here. That's I very
you
rarely
need a holiday,
blush.
Paul.
Oh dear. And I will come back to that actually later in the season. Once it is fully opened up and running, we'll mention it again. But you can check it out now. Absolutely. It is a really good tool. Yeah. Excellent. You can sign up for the
waiting list. Certainly apply and let us know what you do in podcasting, and we can bring you in as we have the features you need, basically.
Oh, awesome. That's cool. I didn't realize you were that far indeed. On.
Yeah, well, you've been on holiday for like 3 months.
I know. So, Marcus has just updated our notes in real time, and he's just written, he's put his name, Marcus, not really relevant. Hi, Paul. What are you doing, Marcus? Oh, yes.
I was.
What were you trying to communicate to me?
The professional podcaster Paul here, who's only done this for about 1,000 episodes, I realized that what I'd said I could talk about actually wasn't about apps, so I got rid of it.
I said not really relevant.
I had my name there anyway.
Yeah.
I was trying to be helpful. I'll stop doing that.
Yeah, you're not implying that you're not relevant. It's rather that you have nothing relevant to say. So what about recording via things like Skype and stuff, Colin? What do you use for that?
Yeah, there's two apps, Ecamm Call Recorder for the Mac and Talk Helper for the PC. That's the two, basically.
Okay.
And if you're on mobile, like if you're just recording, like I was saying earlier on, you were talking about Ringer if you want to interview somebody. But, I mean, I just use dictation app, like the standard dictation app on my smartphone. That's a lot of our podcasts are made that way, just the smart lav and a dictation app on a smartphone.
So what was this mic that plugs into the smartphone that you said earlier?
RODE and then Smart Lav Plus.
Yeah.
And it's just a wee. Yeah.
Smart Lav.
LAV. Yeah. For lavalier microphone.
Okay. Okay. Right. I'm with it. Oh, that's, I might have to check that out because that would be quite a useful thing to have.
Handy.
I use a little, to record like Skype calls and things like that and just any input, really. I use something called Piezo, P-I-E-Z-O. That's a good little Mac app as well. It's very, very simple. Does the job. Okay, so there's a few apps there to get you going. Is there anything else, Colin, that we should mention app-wise?
Do you know what? I've been talking mostly about it's something that's kind of changed the way I plan my podcasts and makes it a lot easier to organize it all is the tool you introduced me to recently, which is Notion. I'm putting all of my podcast stuff into Notion these days. Just because there's a few reasons. It's because it's a wiki. I used to always do it in Evernote, but because this is a wiki, it kind of structures things much more easily. Like you can have that kind of hierarchy really simply going into this is my season, this is my episode, this is ad sponsors. But also it's actually really easy to collaborate on and have as a team. So you can all have it open and be just like you and Marcus are doing just now, sharing a document.
As we demonstrated live just recently.
So I'm finding it really useful, and I recommended it on our newsletter recently, actually, and got them about 200 signups, apparently. So,
Whoa! Oh, they must be exactly. Pleased with you.
Like, some free stuff.
Yeah, that's very cool. Okay. Well, I think that wraps it up nicely for the show. So next week, we are going to be looking at blogging. Where we're going to be having a chat with Vitaly Friedman from Smashing Magazine. He's going to be sharing a little bit about his experiences, with blogging, which is going to be lots of fun. We are actually looking for guests. So if you feel that you have got some expertise in any of the areas that we said we were going to cover on this season. So things like SEO, imagery, social media, headlines, videos, writing effectively, email marketing, editorial calendars, anything like that, then drop me an email at paul@boagworld.com. I've no doubt I can source people, but it's always good to get fresh blood and people maybe that I haven't heard of already. So drop me an email. I would love to have you on the show. We end, as always, with Marcus's joke, which I'm sure should be a tip for all podcasters out there that you need a terrible joke at the end of your show.
I went and had a look through the Berg World Slack channel, bad jokes channel, and I didn't find that many. So people, more jokes, please.
Oh, crikey.
There you go. That's my task for the end of the show. See, I'm learning.
Yeah.
There you go. This one from Lewis Coles. Vegans think butchers are gross, but people who sell fruit and vegetable are grosser.
Not so much funny as you know.
Ooh. All right, here's another one. I made a graph showing my past relationships. It has an x-axis and a y-axis.
That I like. That one's good.
Pretty
like
good. That. Huh? Yeah. Sarah Stewart.
That's thank a good Sarah. One. Yeah, that's a good one, Sarah. I like that one a lot. Okay, so that's it for this week's show. Thank you very much for listening. Colin, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you. Where can people find out more about you?
Thanks for having me on. You can find our site at thepodcasthost.com. And if you want to sign up for the beta for the app as well, that's alitu.com, A-L-I-T-U.com.
See, I told you you should have come up with a product name that you don't have to spell out loud.
But it's got a cool logo.
It has got a very cool little robot. I love the robot. Anyway, that's it. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Hold on.